it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday, getting you ready for Chiefs and Eagles. Earlier today, we got a chance to be joined by Elias Shore Parks. He covers the Philadelphia Eagles. He is their Eagles insider for 94WIP in Philadelphia. He tweeted that Sunday could kill the Chiefs aura. I asked him to explain what he meant.
Well, thanks for having me on. Excited as always to talk to you. I think that's just the reality of where the Chiefs are at. They are obviously one of the best dynasties in NFL history. I think that Andy and Patrick Mahomes still have a very strong argument for being the top quarterback head coach duo in the league. But I think Chiefs fans also need to be honest about what the product on the field has looked like for the past year. If the Chiefs, after last year where they did not play well overall, I think you would probably agree with that. A lot of one-score games, a lot of games that, you're probably not going to win consistently. And they did it, and credit to them for that. But they have not looked like a dominant team for a long time. In the biggest game they played last year, they got absolutely embarrassed. They went to Brazil last week and lost to a Chargers team that consistently loses big games. And if they lose the home opener in a chance to even up their record as opposed to going 0-2, I don't think the Chiefs have that mystique anymore. I'd probably be more afraid to go play Buffalo. I might be more afraid to go play Baltimore, and that hasn't been the case for a really long time. So I really think this Sunday is about seeing if the Chiefs are still the Chiefs or if they're just a team with a good quarterback and head coach and a bad roster.
Last year, you were pretty emphatic that the Eagles had the better roster and that the Eagles were going to win the Super Bowl comfortably. I don't think either of us saw the Super Bowl playing out the way that it did, but you were pretty emphatic that the Eagles were the better team. These teams are largely the same. Do you feel that way heading into this matchup? Do you see a place in where Kansas City has the advantage outside of being home in this game against Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think, look, the Chiefs have, in my opinion, five great players. They have Trent McDuffie, Chris Jones, George Karloftis, Patrick Mahomes, and, I think Travis Kelce Silver. Oh, Creed Humphrey's the fifth. Creed Humphrey, I would say, is the fifth great player on the roster. And that can be enough to keep them competitive. But if you look at the two teams, the Eagles have far and away the best roster. Like, they have so much more talent than the Chiefs do. I mean, Mahomes would probably kill to play for the Eagles as opposed to dealing with the players he has on the Kansas City roster. So I think there's still a big gap in terms of talent. Now, are there areas where the Chiefs could take advantage of the Eagles? I think the Eagles' interior offensive line right now, because they're dealing with an injury to Landon Dickerson, could be somewhat susceptible. I think Chris Jones, as you well know, is very capable of taking over a game. George Karloftis, also obviously a great player, and I think both of them on the line combined could give the Eagles some problems. But outside of that, no. I mean, the Chiefs' receivers aren't that great. Their secondary is not that great. The Eagles have outstanding skill players. So I think the Chiefs really just have to hope that Steve Spagnuolo and Andy Reid have an outstanding game plan and that Patrick Mahomes can be Patrick Mahomes.
Right now, we're talking to Elias Shore Parks, breaking down the Chiefs and Eagle matchup. He covers the Eagles for WIP out in Philadelphia. A lot of controversy centered around Jalen Carter. I think the result is fair. I understand the argument that being ejected is not a suspension, but he didn't play in week one and they took a game check away from him. That seems like a fair penalty to me. Do you think justice was served, so to speak, with him being able to play in week two?
I think you can make an argument justice was served, but I think that the punishment in some ways really didn't fit the crime. I think if I'm the Eagles, I would, maybe sit him for this game. I would maybe sit him for a half. I think for the Eagles, this is a great chance to really send a message early on to this team that discipline is crucial and making sure your emotions are kept in check is crucial. The Eagles have a roster that's good enough to beat any team in the NFL on any given Sunday. The way they'll lose is by making mistakes and letting their emotions get the best of them. So for the Eagles, I think that, I would maybe go further with the actions towards Jalen Carter. In terms of the NFL, I think they dropped the ball a little bit too. Like, they talked a big game all offseason about how on-the-field stuff will be taken seriously and they're going to try to get this stuff out of the game. And then they essentially use a technicality to make him not play against Kansas City. I get a chance to be around Jalen Carter as someone that covers the team. He's been from my experiences, a great guy here in Philadelphia. I think he has an outstanding future ahead of him. But in terms of this incident, it did feel like he probably got off a little easy.
Another story from week one for the Eagles is the lack of A.J. Brown. He only got one target, one catch in the game. What was the conversation around A.J. Brown this week? Do you expect them to try to go to him early and often to get him involved in the offense?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On Sunday.
Yeah, I think they will. You know, whenever you have the amount of talent the Eagles have on offense, if one player isn't getting the ball, it's going to be a big story. I remember in 2022, Devontae Smith didn't have a single catch against Detroit in week one, and he had a monster game in game two. So this is something the Eagles are used to. I would expect A.J. Brown to have a great game. Now, look, if the Chiefs put Trent McDuffie on him and make their whole game plan to stop him, then that's going to impact it. But the Eagles then have Devontae. They have Saquon Barkley. It doesn't seem like Dallas Goedert's going to play, so they will be without him. But A.J. Brown's an outstanding player, and they absolutely have to make sure he gets the ball in week two because they're a better team when he gets the ball.
I think most people agree on who the top four quarterbacks are in the National Football League. We might disagree on the order, but I think most people have the same consensus four. The conversation really starts at five. Do you think Jalen Hurts is the fifth best quarterback in the league, or who would you put in that spot if not him?
I think he's the second-best quarterback in the league, and if he wins the Super Bowl this year, I think he passes Mahomes in the current ranking. I don't see how a quarterback that's won back-to-back Super Bowls, wins 80% of his games, and wins big games all the time, wouldn't be the best quarterback in the NFL if he were able to win the Super Bowl. So we'll see if they can do it, but as for right now, I think he should be number two. He has a ring that those other players do not, and people will say, well, they do more for their team. Maybe, but Jalen does a lot of really important things for the Eagles, as Chiefs fans have found out over the past two seasons. He takes care of the ball. He makes huge plays on third and fourth down. He's maybe the best quarterback in the NFL in the red zone. So is he as talented as Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson? Maybe not. They are outstanding quarterbacks, but the results speak for themselves. And I would also say, like, when it comes to Mahomes, Mahomes is an unbelievable talent. But I would say the talent discrepancy between him, Josh Allen, and Lamar, you know, like, is not huge. The reason Mahomes is penned in at number one is because he has Super Bowls. So if that's going to be the logic for making Mahomes number one, I don't see how Jalen would be anything other than number two.
The thing I appreciate about Jalen Hurts, and I think that last Thursday was an example, sure, the numbers weren't gaudy. It wasn't one of those 300-yard passing days. He ran for 100 yards. But where I give Jalen Hurts a lot of credit is when a play needs to be made from the Eagles, and more specifically from him, it usually happens in that game on third down, using his legs, scoring a touchdown. To me, I don't think he gets nearly enough credit. And to me, we give a little bit too much credit to the roster to take away from his successes. If we're going to say that greatness at quarterback is defined by making plays in the clutch, there haven't been too many better quarterbacks in the NFL when their back is up against the wall to make a play.
Yeah, and I mean, I would also say that just, and I'm sure you would agree with this from our time covering the league and watching the NFL, your team is almost always just as good as your quarterback is. Like, it just is what it is, right? Like, the Eagles have, in terms of you view it as a car, like, they have elite parts, like a shiny outside, great tires, an awesome sound system. But if your engine is not great, and Jalen is the engine like any quarterback is, it really doesn't matter. So right now, the reason the Eagles win is Jalen Hurts. Does he have help? Absolutely he has help. But you don't win in the NFL if you don't get high-level quarterback play, and they're absolutely getting elite high-level quarterback play from Jalen.
Where do you feel the Eagles are most vulnerable? Because the offense is largely the same from last year. You mentioned a couple of injuries, but the core of that team is the one that we've seen for the last 12 months or so. They've had a little bit of turnover on defense. They've lost some key pieces. Where do you think the Eagles are most vulnerable this season?
I think without question, the place where the Eagles can get hurt is the second cornerback spot. Quinyon Mitchell, I know he's only in his second year, but he's proven to be one of the better corners in the NFL. Cooper DeJean is really good. But at the number two cornerback spot, they lost Darius Slay, who was a good player for them last year. Their plan is to start Adoree Jackson this upcoming Sunday. He didn't have a great game against Dallas. So that would be the spot. Now, the issue is the Chiefs don't really have any good receivers, especially with Xavier Worthy out, and or seemingly out. Maybe you would know more about that than me, and then also Rashee Rice being suspended. So the Eagles' weakness is definitely that cornerback spot. I just don't know if the Chiefs have the players to exploit it.
We always ask people this. Give me your Chiefs win-if scenario. Give me your Eagles win-if scenario on Sunday.
I think the Chiefs win if they're still the Chiefs. Like, if they're still a great team, if they're still a team people need to worry about, if they're still a Super Bowl contender, then they win on Sunday. You don't drop to 0-2 and lose your home opener if you're a true Super Bowl contender. So the Chiefs win if they show up and they are the Chiefs. That, you know, I think that's how they win the game. The Eagles win if the Chiefs play like they have the last year and a half. If the Chiefs play, you know, kind of sloppy football, they're not able to put a ton of points up on offense. The Eagles are just a way, way better roster. We saw that in the Super Bowl. So the Chiefs absolutely have to bring their A game. And if the Eagles bring their C game, the Chiefs could win. I just think the spot is so advantageous for Kansas City that I think there's a good chance they will win the game.
I'll get you out of here with this last question. Who do you see as the biggest contender to the Eagles in the NFC? The AFC is pretty straightforward. You got Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo all fighting for the top. That's not how we view the NFC. Who do you see as the biggest threat, the biggest challenger to Philadelphia?
I think it's definitely the Packers, especially after the acquisition of Micah Parsons. I think the Packers were already a Super Bowl contender. They have a really solid roster. They don't have a ton of weaknesses. They have a lot of good receivers slash very good receivers. Jordan Love has shown he can win in the playoffs, and they're battle tested. So you add Micah Parsons to that, and I think the Packers are the clear-cut challenger to the Eagles in the NFC.
That is Elias Shore Parks joining us on the show. He covers the Philadelphia Eagles for WIP out in Philadelphia. A Super Bowl rematch in week two between the Chiefs and the Eagles. Elliot, great stuff, man. Always appreciate catching up with you.
Yep, always glad to do it.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.